Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 and the first episode of 2026 here in the Ash Bros podcast. I'm Todd here with Peter, and we're just so excited to be able to bring you guys this episode here, another one here with the Ash Bros podcast. Happy New Year to everyone listening. I'm really excited for this episode. I know you are too, Peter. How are you doing so far today, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I know you're a little under the radar right now, so I appreciate you toughing it out and thugging it out for us. If you guys don't notice, Todd sounds, you know, he's a little bit sick, but he's powering through. He's doing good. So, yeah, man, excited to get this underway. 2026, man, we're already here, and I know we've been kind of on and off a bit, but now we're into the playoffs, man. It's been a crazy season. I mean, just really, really wild season so far. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what the playoffs brings us.
Yeah, absolutely wild season. I mean, if you told people before the season, oh, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow are going to miss the playoffs, I think most people would be like, wow. Like, that would be absolutely, like, crazy. But here we are. And like you mentioned, yeah, it should be a very interesting playoff tournament this year. A lot of interesting teams, a lot of new teams in the dance this year, and a lot of some familiar faces as well. And we're going to get into that in just a second. But before we do, there were a few coaches that have actually been let go. Obviously, we saw on Black Monday, we saw the Browns fire head coach Kevin Stefanski, among others, some other firings. And then yesterday, absolutely kind of stunning, I guess, to some people, but the Ravens fired John Harbaugh. And for the first time since 2008, the Ravens will have a new head coach next season. So I don't know, that was pretty interesting for me to see there. Peter, what are your quick thoughts on Harbaugh and the Ravens parting ways there?
So I think I said it before on the podcast plenty of times, and people have kind of given me flack for it, no matter who I talk to. But I've been saying this needs to happen for the last couple of years now. I know it's an unpopular opinion because of how respected John Harbaugh is and what he's done for the team. And he should be, man. He's one of their greatest coaches in franchise history, probably their greatest coach, and they haven't been around for super long. But still, his 18 years, he did remarkable things, won a Super Bowl, got him to, you know, many different playoff runs. He was a pretty good coach. First time, also helped transform Lamar Jackson into what he is now. And so I get all of that. But my thing is I think once you realize that you're not going to really get anywhere, once things kind of become stagnant, you have to make a change. I'm always in the firm belief that, like, if something's not really working or you need to figure something out, you got to change it. You got to at least change something to figure out, you know, maybe there's something I'm doing differently. Maybe there's a tweak I can make. And this is just a major tweak, in my opinion. Like, you needed to, if you're Baltimore, you needed something to change. I know people keep pointing to the playoff mistakes they made, whether it's Lamar not really showing up at times, Mark Andrews having costly plays late in games, their defense sometimes getting on and off, just things kind of being weird for them over the last, you can say, 10 years. But no matter what you point at when you look at with this Baltimore Ravens team, it all has to start somewhere. We all have to either look at management, the head coach, ownership, or whatever, what have you. And unfortunately, John Harbaugh, it just so happens that he, along with probably the general manager and a few other people, have kind of lost where they're going here, and things needed to change. And it's unfortunate. It's tough, right? You have a guy like Mike McDonald in the building. He's gone. He's with Seattle now. And people were even saying before that, I remember at the time, this isn't just me talking and saying like something in hindsight. A lot of Ravens fans wanted him to be the next coach. Unfortunately, right, he leaves. He gets a job in Seattle, and now he's killing it over there. And they're number one seed in the NFC. So it's tough. I'm not saying it's easier said than done with firing a guy that's been around for so long. And I don't want to get onto him too hard, but it's the same thing with Mike Tomlin. I know Mike Tomlin's in the playoffs. I'm with the firm belief that Pittsburgh should make a change. Again, if you want to stay 10-7 every year, 9-8 every year, and then kind of be stagnant, losing the first round every time. Again, we'll see what they do this year, but basically more or less not do anything. He hasn't won a playoff game in, 10-11 years. You're looking at it and you're going, okay, like, when are things going to change? And people seem to be complacent and content with just being kind of whatever. And that's just my only kind of critique about it. It's like, dude, like, I know what they've done. I get they have a good reputation and they deserve it, but you can't just stay with the same thing over and over again and expect something to change. That's the definition of insanity. So, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. I'm not too sure if you're on the same wavelength, but I don't know. It's tough to just keep on going and stay with the same guy over and over and expect something to change when it's just not going to happen. And clearly they thought the same, and that's why he's gone.
Yeah, honestly, I definitely agree with you. I feel like, you know, both John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin, both Hall of Fame head coaches for sure. They've both done great jobs in Pittsburgh and Baltimore, respectively. But I feel like also it definitely is time to move on for both teams as well. Obviously, the Steelers, because of, you know, Tyler Loop's missed field goal at the end there in that crazy Week 18 game this past Sunday. It looks like Mike Tomlin's probably going to stay next year as well, since, you know, they made the playoffs. But, I mean, yeah, I feel like eventually, you know, you need to change some things up. You know, I feel like when things get stagnant, like you said, and, you know, other teams are beginning to catch up to you and you're not as successful as you once were, I feel like it's definitely time for both of those teams to make those changes. And the Ravens already done theirs, and we'll see what happens with Tomlin and the Steelers in the offseason as well. So with that being said, let's get into these predictions for Wild Card Weekend, this coming Saturday and Sunday and Monday night game as well. But let's start the Saturday games here first. The first game to open up the playoffs, we have the LA Rams at 12-5 going on the road to take on the 8-9 Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are just the seventh team in NFL history to make the playoffs with a losing record, while the Rams, for most of the season, have been looked at as arguably the best team in football. You look at them, especially offensively, with how well Matthew Stafford has played all well this whole season, and, you know, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, the running game has been great. Obviously, Sean McVay and Stafford have already won a Super Bowl before. But the Panthers did beat the Rams back in, I think it was Week 13. They beat the Rams 31-28. They got a few takeaways from Stafford, a couple of interceptions and a strip sack fumble to end the game there. But Peter, I'm curious to see who we have winning here in this game. Do you think the Rams are going to take care of business, or do you think Carolina is going to pull off the unthinkable for the second time here?
The Rams are a 10-point favorite in this one. I don't know if they win by quite that much, but I do see like them winning by 7. I guess it's not much of a difference, but I do see them winning this one. I think this time they'll just go back to what they know. They won't get too cute with it. I think in that game, it almost seemed like every time Matthew Stafford kind of got in this situation, he's trying to force things and led to multiple turnovers. And the thing about Carolina is you keep them in a game long enough, eventually they'll make you pay, whether it's running the ball or maybe they'll grind it out for a win. That's what they're doing all year. I'm just not so sure that's going to happen this time in the playoffs. I just think eventually, like, the talent will take over. The only thing that scares me for the Rams is how the weather's going to be in this game. I don't know what it is right now, but Carolina around this time, sometimes they get those really weird rain games, maybe those slosh games, stuff like that. I don't think that bodes too well for the Rams, who basically play a ton of indoor games, and even in bad weather games or whatever, fair weather games, they have guys who have experience, but it's just kind of tough in those type of contests, and I think the Panthers kind of benefit from that because they're just so used to playing in the worst possible conditions. So I'm going to go with the Rams, but hopefully it's good weather for the Rams. If it's bad weather, again, you never know the NFL, man. This year's been so wacky that you never know they could pull it off. Maybe the Panthers could do it, but I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, like, the Rams will just kind of do what they do, get through this round, and then get ready for the divisional.
Yeah, like you said, this year has been absolutely crazy, just so unpredictable. I do have the Rams winning this one, and I have them winning kind of comfortably. Like, I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I could see something like 31-17, something like that. I think the Panthers, you know, their path to victory here is basically the same as what happened last time, where defensively, they're going to have to get a few takeaways. They have to win the turnover battle. There's no way they're going to win this game, in my opinion, if they don't win the turnover battle. So Bryce Young also has to be careful with the football, and then the defense is going to have to, you know, get some takeaways off of Stafford and whatnot as well. And I think also Bryce Young is going to have to be – he's going to have to make some big throws. And he did in that last game, but the Rams have a very good pass rush. You know, 47 sacks on the year. Byron Young and Jared Verse are very good off the edge. And Kobe Turner, the conductor, you know, is very good as well in the middle there. So I think the Rams, you know, they've been there before. This is Bryce Young's first playoff game. I think the Rams are not going to make those same mistakes they made, in the last game. And I think they'll come out and advance to the next round. Our next game here is a Saturday night matchup, and it's going to be a good one. We have the rubber match between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, two bitter longtime rivals. This is the 212th meeting all time between the Packers and the Bears, the most played matchup in NFL history. And this is the third time they're playing each other in the last 6 weeks. The Packers won the first meeting with a game-winning interception in the fourth quarter, and then the Bears won the second meeting in an absolute just crazy comeback win in Chicago in a game that basically helped them win the division, win the NFC North for the first time since 2018. Peter, I know obviously we're both Packers fans here, but yeah, I don't know. Green Bay's not looking too good. They lost four straight heading into the playoffs. Do you think they have a chance to go into Chicago and advance the division around?
There's obviously a chance. I think the Bears' defense is kind of so unpredictable and kind of susceptible to giving up so many big plays, where I could see a world where the Packers win a game where it's kind of high scoring and they get it done somehow with just a timely turnover or two from a defense that's not playing too great. But I think I have the Bears winning this one, unfortunately. I hope the Packers win, but I have the Bears winning. I just think it's just too much going on in Green Bay injury-wise. I don't think they have enough bodies. It just comes down to literally, like, it's one thing to be injured, and people can say excuses. The team is literally just one of the most banged-up teams in the league. It's just factual at this point. It's not me talking and trying to be biased. The team is banged up really badly. Like, guys are just hurt. Josh Jacobs, they finally just didn't play him. It took them all the way into week 18 to be like, we're not going to play this guy when he clearly shouldn't have played basically at all last couple of weeks. The offensive line is partially banged up. The entire defense seems like it's injured. At this point, like, I don't see it happening for the Packers. The only, again, avenue to a win for them would be just a kind of a high-scoring game. And I just think the Bears' offense, the way it's clicking right now, if they can run the ball a little bit better, lately over the last couple weeks hasn't been too great, but if they can find the run game, and then kind of like Caleb do what he does off-platform, I think they get the job done in probably a somewhat close game, but they end up winning by almost 6-7 points, something like that. If not, I don't know. It's tough with the Packers, man. It's been kind of unfortunate, you know, being a fan, but I don't know. I can see it happening. I'm just not really optimistic about it. I don't know what you think or what you think.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be definitely one of the best in the weekend. I think this game's going to be high scoring. I think both of these offenses are pretty talented and have a lot of playmakers. And I think both defenses aren't good, to be honest. Green Bay more so in terms of injuries. The Bears, I just feel like they don't have as much talent. But they do a great job of forcing takeaways. So really it's going to come down to, can the Packers avoid turnovers and can they score in the red zone? Because in that second meeting against the Bears, they went 0-for-5 in the red zone. They scored 16 points. They were able to move the ball up and down the field, but couldn't score touchdowns. So if they're able to score touchdowns in this game, because I think they're going to be able to move the ball, then I like their chances in this game. And I think it's going to be a close one, but ultimately, I think it's kind of come down to the quarterbacks here. And I think Caleb Williams is a good quarterback, and I think he's going to be one of the best in the NFL one day. And he definitely took a step forward this year, but I think Jordan Love is the more consistent quarterback right now. And that's why I think the Packers are going to come out with a very close win. I can see something like, maybe 30-27, something like that. But I think Packers will win and book a trip to Seattle for the divisional round. Now let's move on to the games on Sunday. This first matchup, I think, is going to be the best matchup of Wildcard Weekend in general here. We have the Buffalo Bills at 12-5 taking on the red-hot Jacksonville Jaguars, who won 8 straight games and finished with a 13-4 record this year. Man, there's so much I want to say about this matchup here, but Peter, again, I'm going to let you go first here and get your thoughts here.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I know I shouldn't say it's super tough because I'm all over, kind of all on Jacksonville here. I think they're going to get the job done in this one. The Bills, again, avenue to win this game is they got to run the ball against a team that defends the run very well. I just think Jacksonville, it's been clicking so much lately. The pass game's been great, and Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's found a rhythm so far. This is the quarterback that we've all been waiting for. We've all been saying it's time for him to take the step. And I don't know if it's just the naysayers or something like that that's gotten to him, but he is on a roll right now. Love the way he's playing. And I think again, Jacksonville, similar to the Bears defense, but they're obviously better, is they also create a lot of turnovers. That's how they kind of get things done. And Josh Allen, unfortunately, has been committing a lot of turnovers. Also, when you don't have a great receiving core, it kind of gets tough. So the Bills have to run the ball well. There's no choice. They have to run the ball well in this one. If they don't, I can see him getting a little bit ugly. I have Jacksonville winning this one somewhat comfortably just because of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a bad matchup, in my opinion, for the Bills. I think if they were the 7th seed and got a third matchup with the Patriots, I think that would have been better for them. But this is a tough matchup for the Jaguars here, going up against, you know, this is a bad matchup for the Bills here, going up against the Jaguars. Like you said, Jacksonville, you know, is very good at stopping the run. They were the number one run defense in the league this year. And I know they have James Cook, but this is actually the 7th all-time meeting between the NFL's leading rusher and the NFL's top rushing defense in a playoff setting. And in the last 6 matchups, the leading rushers have averaged less than 50 yards per game. So that trend continues. I think it's going to be all on Josh Allen to win it. And don't get me wrong, we both know Josh Allen can go into Superman mode at any time and just go crazy and do his thing. And I think he'll have a good game here. But I think Jacksonville's just a better team, the more well-rounded. And, you know, the Bills are, you know, it's tough. You know, this is one year you're like, okay, Patrick Mahomes is out of the mix, right? Like, this is the year we got to take advantage and win. But, you know, the fact that we're going to have to play on the road the whole way through, most likely, I think it's going to be tough. And, you know, Buffalo hasn't won a road playoff game since 1992. And unfortunately for Bills Mafia, I think that's going to continue to this one. Our next matchup here, we have the San Francisco 49ers on the road taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Rematch of the NFC Championship game from a few years ago. So it should be an interesting matchup here between the last two NFC champions. I'm going to go here first. I like the Eagles winning this game, honestly. I think this is a really tough matchup for the 49ers. You know, offensively, you know, the Niners have a very good offense with Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. But, you know, Philly's defense is really, really good. Honestly, you know, there's a lot of good defenses in these playoffs, but I trust Philadelphia is honestly the most. With the talent they have and the championship pedigree they have from last year. You know, they can cover well in the back end, great pass rush as well. And Vic Fangio is arguably the best defensive coordinator in the league. So tough matchup for San Francisco. You know, and their defense hasn't been that great either. And I know Philadelphia's offense, you know, has been very, very frustrating to watch this year. And a lot of complaints about the offensive coordinator and their head coach Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and all that stuff. But I think they're going to get it going in this game. I think Saquon Barkley, I'm not saying he's going to go for like 200 yards or something like that, but I do think he's going to have one of those games where it's kind of like a flashback from last season. I can see him running all over that 49ers defense. And I think Philly being at home as well, I think that just makes it tough. So I think the Eagles will win this game actually kind of comfortably. I'm going to say maybe around 27-17, something like that.
I'm with you. I think this is a horrible matchup here to the Niners. The Niners right now can't stop anything. Trench play is everything right now, and unfortunately, both sides of the trenches are just really kind of poor for them. We saw last week against the Seahawks, the Niners just couldn't get anything in a pivotal must-win game offensively. They couldn't really block for Brock Purdy, and the Eagles, they love to tee off on quarterbacks, man. When they get going, regardless if they can stop them or not, they love to get to the quarterback, and it's just a bad matchup. Even with Trent Williams back, if he's not 100% or even like 80%, it's not a good matchup for him. I just don't like how the 49ers are blocking the ball. And then on the other side, their pass rush is almost non-existent. I don't want to say it's like completely horrible, but it's bad. The Eagles' offensive line isn't too great, but I just think they have just enough, or not like kind of just enough in the run game or just enough in the passing game to get it done offensively. It might be a little bit ugly because Eagles' offense is kind of inconsistent, and that's where I could see things getting weird because the Niners' back end is super aggressive. They like to come down and make tackles. So the Eagles aren't on point offensively. It could be kind of close, but if the Eagles are even somewhat clicking offensively, like I'm talking about like they're at 65-70%, and they're kind of clicking to the point where they're scoring a field goal, a drive, or maybe a touchdown or two every now and then, and they score like maybe 27 points, I just think it's going to be a commanding win for them. I also have them winning comfortably in this one, in spite of what everyone's saying. A lot of people seem to think this is a super close matchup. I know Niners are talented offensively, but I just don't see it.
And now our last Sunday game. It's a Sunday night matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers at 11-6 and the surprising 14-3 New England Patriots. Battle here between some of the most talented quarterbacks in the league, and Justin Herbert on the Chargers side and Drake May, who's you know, arguably the leading MVP candidate after the amazing season he had in just his second year in the league. This might be a little surprising here. I think the Patriots, you know, they had a great season, and I think they're definitely on the up and coming here. But I actually have the Chargers pulling off the upset here. I think they're going to go into New England and get a close win here. Justin Herbert's never won a playoff game, and he has struggled in the playoffs throughout his career. He's 0-2, and you know, his two playoff games. The first one, they blew a 27-0 lead. The Chargers did against the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple years ago, and then last year. Herbert threw 4 interceptions against the Texans in the wild card round. So Herbert definitely has something to prove here. But, you know, I think I look at this matchup. I think this is a good matchup for the Chargers. I think, you know, the offensive line is really, really, you know, struggling right now because of injuries. But New England's pass rush is not the greatest. They don't get a lot of sacks. They don't get a lot of pressure. So I think in terms of, you know, for Herbert, I think this is actually a decent matchup here. And the Chargers can also run the ball pretty well, too, with Amarian Hampton, their talented rookie running back, and New England's run defense. should be better with Milton Williams back in the mix, but you know, he could be a little rusty in his first game back from injury. So I like the matchup for the Chargers on offense. And then defensively, Drake May is awesome, but the Chargers are very good against the pass. You know, Chargers defensive coordinator Jesse Minter, in my opinion, should be a head coach by this point next year, with how amazing of a coach he is. And I think New England's, you know, gonna not struggle, but I don't think they're gonna be lighting it up here against the Chargers defense. And I think Herbert's gonna make a couple plays late and get his first playoff win, and help the Chargers win and go to Denver for a third matchup with the Broncos next week.
I respect the call. I respect your decision, and I understand it, but I'm going with the Patriots in this one. Herbert's been sacked 16 times in his last four starts. The Patriots, like you said, don't get to the quarterback, but what they do great is they like to stir the pocket into the direction they want you to throw to or locate to. And as good as Justin Herbert is, and the guy's basically a miracle man with some of these plays, and I've been a critic of him over the last couple of years, but this year especially, I think you can give him a lot of excuses. I know in the past people have said, well, he hasn't had this and he hasn't had that. This is the first time where I truly think he has all the excuses in the world to not get it done. I think that's what's going to happen. I just think it's too much going on around for him too. Similar to the Packers, where it's just too many guys banged up. Their defense is much better and much more compact, and Jesse Minter's coaching his butt off. He's doing a great job over there. I think that's their best chance of getting it done. If Drake May looks like he's jittery in his first playoff start, throws a couple of turnovers, you can see them running the ball, maybe score there, and that's their kind of avenue to winning this game. But I just think the Patriots, similar to, I know it's different with college football in Indiana, but similar to Indiana, they're so well coached. The way to beat New England this year, even in spite of them playing not the greatest teams, the way to beat New England is to kind of hope they make mistakes and hope they get away from what's been so good for them, which is coaching well. And I just think the coaching is going to be really, really superior here. I just think Vrabel's going to have them ready to go. Guys are going to make aren't going to make dumb mistakes. I think as long as they keep this manageable, eventually, and sorry to say this for Herbert, but eventually Herbert might have a fumble, might have an interception, just because the offensive line is just so bad. And all it takes is one or two plays like that, and that's where I could see things kind of getting messy for them. I have the Patriots winning, not comfortably, but I think they win this game by a decent amount just because it just comes down to the Chargers not having enough offensively at the end of the day. And it's just tough when you play a team so well coached like the Patriots. Even they don't have the talent, a lot of guys play out of their minds. Special teams are also going to be big in this one. The Chargers special teams, as good as it's been, the Patriots have a better special teams unit. So that also could be the difference where a fumble or two can swing the change of the game and kind of dynamic there. So I got the Patriots winning probably by like 7. But yeah, you never know with the Chargers. Maybe they can get it done and kind of defensively make their way into Denver, like you said.
And now finally, to close out Wildcard Weekend, we have a Monday night matchup between the 12-5 red-hot Houston Texans, who won 9 straight games, going into Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, who finished the season with a 10-7 record and made it into the playoffs, as you talked about just earlier, on the Baltimore Ravens missed field goal at the end there. I have the Texans winning this game, but I'm not confident actually in saying that. Even though the Texans have looked like the better team not all season long, they started off the season 0-3, but really for most of the last 2 months now, they look like the better team compared to the Steelers. But I don't think this is a horrible matchup for the Steelers, especially on defense. I think, you know, the Steelers have a very good pass rush with, you know, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith. It's a very good defensive line, and the Texans offensive line has definitely gotten better from last year. But it's still not the strength of this offense and of this team. And, you know, the Steelers really struggle this year usually too against teams that can run the ball, and Houston's not the greatest at doing that either. So I could see a situation where, you know, CJ Stroud, he's a really good quarterback, but I could see a situation where he has to drop back a lot, and then, you know, the Steelers defensive front gets out to him, maybe a couple of turnovers happen, and it gives the Steelers some short fields. And while the Texans do have the best defense in the NFL, the Steelers do have a Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side, Aaron Rodgers. And obviously Rodgers not nearly the same player he was in Green Bay, MVP quarterback back then, but he's still an experienced quarterback who can, you know, be able to make some plays there. But overall, I do think the Texans will come up with a win, but I do think it'll be a close one. I can see something like 17-13, a really ugly, low-scoring game. But one stat to note, and if the Steelers do win this game, we'll have to come back to this later on. The Steelers have not lost a Monday night game at home in Pittsburgh since 1991. So, you know, all good things do eventually, you know, come to an end. That's the saying, but that's just something to think about in the back of my mind. But yeah, I do have the Texans win this one.
That's actually a really good stat. I forgot about the Steelers. You have Monday night at home. They're just really good at Monday night. I'm pretty sure they have the longest winning streak period on Monday nights in the NFL history. Like, it's pretty crazy what they do on Monday night. So it's interesting that the NFL gave them another Monday night game at home. Just point that out. That's really interesting. I also got the Texans in this one. The Steelers' path to victory in this one, again, I keep using path to victory, is like you said, the pass rush. But the pass rush has to get there. I just think, again, like, that's the key. The Texas offensive line is not good, so I understand that. I think this one can get bad. I'm be honest with you. I think this is the one where I'm really thinking it can get bad, bad. Like, I'm talking about, like, I'll go as far as saying, like, 30-7. I'm talking about, like, if they can, if we saw early in that game, a couple weeks ago, the Texans, kind of early in the game against the Chargers, they just went deep. Boom. Two big touchdowns on the Chargers. They took a big lead. They ended up, barely winning that game. But the way that game started, if they can do something similar to that and get on the board early, because if they can somehow protect, that's the thing. Like, they got to just block this defensive line that the Steelers have that's been on fire lately. But if you can somehow block and give time, with how bad that Steelers secondary is looking, they look awful, man. They might be the worst secondary left in this thing. And we have the Packers and the Niners and the Bears in this one, in these playoffs. And they might look like the worst one. They looked awful. There were times where guys were wide open. Jalen Ramsey, talk about him being an all-pro. He made a, I think he was like one of the top-ranked guys in PFF. I don't know what they're watching. He looks horrible. And he was in no man's land for two or three of the touchdowns that the Ravens had. So it's like, if they look that bad again, and CJ Stroud can just get some protection. We know CJ Stroud is under pressure. So he's sporadic at times, but usually he's okay with standing in front of the pocket and taking a hit and throwing a ball pretty deep. If he can get some protection there, I think he can get bad. Because if they go down to maybe 10, 14-point lead, those little cheeky screens that they keep throwing, the Steelers' offense is just not good, man. They throw little screen passes and hope Gainwell can make something happen. Hope Jalen Warren can make something happen. DK Metcalf, hey, run a go. That's the offense. Like, and people give Arthur Smith all this credit. It's bad coaching. Like, straight up, it's not good coaching. It's not good film. It's not good tape. And people keep pointing out, they didn't have DK Metcalf. One guy's going to change that much? I don't see it happening, especially with Stingley there. You never know with this one again. Like, their path of victory is going to be the pass rush, getting some turnovers, making it close with kind of a sack, strip, fumble or something like that. But I don't know. Give me the Texans in this one. And if the Steelers don't come to play, it can get bad. I don't care if it's at home. It doesn't matter what's going on. I think it can get bad. They're going to play around with what arguably people think is the best defense in the NFL. So we'll see.
With that being said, we thank all of you guys for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros podcast. It's a blast and be able to talk football with you, Peter, once again, and being able to do it for the first time in 2026 is amazing. So we thank everyone for listening to this episode. We hope you all have an amazing day wherever you're listening, and we're excited to see you guys for the next episode.